Christians expect to see one another in heaven. The songs and hymns we sing in worship reflect this great hope that we have. For instance, one song reads, "There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me at the end of life's troublesome way. Many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday." Another song that Christians sing goes like this, "Out on the hills of that wonderful country, happy, contented, and free, loved ones are waiting and watching my coming. Heaven holds all to me." Sometimes we hear people asking, "Will we know one another in heaven?" Well, the reason we are interested in the question is because we too must face the chilling hand of death. We have experienced the loss of loved ones. Friends of ours have gone on ahead of us. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, perhaps even children or grandchildren. We have experienced great losses like these, and so we are interested in the nature of heaven. Will we know our loved ones there? If you are a young person, you may not have as much interest in the question of heaven. I don't know what it may take to cause you to wake up to the reality of death, but for some, it may take a tragedy for them to begin to think soberly about life after death. I vividly remember how a couple of brushes with death caused this young man to sober up and think about what happens when a person dies. This is not morbid thinking. It is sober thinking when a person considers what is real and how we should handle it. The Apostle Peter encouraged people with the real prospect that the end of things is at hand. He said, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Have you ever thought about your prayers? Have you ever thought about what you are praying and when you are praying? You know, we need to be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of our prayers. If we continue in sin, will God listen to our prayers? Solomon said, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart." Sorrow, he said, is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Ecclesiastes 7, 2-4. Well, Solomon reminds us about reality, and it is proper to consider the end of all things, even the end of our own lives. Solomon also wrote, encouraging young people to think about such things. He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them." Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Christians have a cherished hope of seeing and knowing each other in heaven. Well, someone has also wisely asked, "If we can know one another in heaven, won't I be sad when I realize a loved one is not there?" Oh, that's a good question, isn't it? Does the Bible give us some answers to these questions? Does the God of all comfort know how to comfort those who are sad? The Bible truly teaches that there is a heaven to long for and a hell to avoid. The word heaven is used three different ways in our Bibles, and I might add that in English we use it in the same three ways in everyday life. The Apostle Paul once wrote, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. But how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Well, the third heaven must be the place where our Creator, our Heavenly Father, lives. The second heaven is the place where the universe lives. It is inhabited by the suns, the moons, and the stars of the universe. The first heaven is the one closest to us. It is the place where the birds, where the airplanes, and the clouds fly. It is the atmosphere, the air we breathe. The Bible talks about each of these heavens. Jesus talked to people about the third heaven. For instance, he said there is a kingdom from there, and he called it the kingdom of heaven. It is the rule of God in the hearts and lives of men, women, boys, and girls. It is currently present in the world. People can be a part of the kingdom of heaven even while still living on the earth. That's right. I am blessed to be a citizen of this kingdom, and so can any person, no matter where they live in this world. The kingdom of heaven is currently here among the population of the earth. When we choose to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, we are given an inheritance in the world to come. That's right. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Peter calls that heavenly inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Well, this heavenly inheritance is reserved in a place called heaven, and by God's power, Christians in this world are being guarded through faithfulness for that salvation that is coming in the last time. Will we recognize people that we have known on the earth if we both receive an inheritance in heaven? Jesus was impressed with a certain Roman soldier called a centurion. The man asked Jesus to heal his servant from a distance. He said he was not worthy that Jesus should enter his house. Well, Jesus was impressed that the man thought he had the power to heal his slave from a distance. Jesus remarked that he had not seen such faith in Israel among his brethren, the Jewish people. Jesus made this point, "I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit down at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 8, 11 and 12. Jesus clearly thought that there were two different places for eternity. One of them around the table where sits Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and the other in a place of outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. When faithful Christians sit down in the kingdom of heaven, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there. Abraham will still be Abraham, Isaac will still be Isaac, and Jacob will still be Jacob, and you will still be you. Since we will have the same identity, since we will be the same persons, then surely we will recognize each other. The Sadducees of Jesus' day did not believe in the afterlife. They neither believed in heaven or hell, in this place of the kingdom of heaven, or in that place that Jesus called outer darkness. Well, to prove their point to Jesus, they tested him with an illustration out of the law of Moses concerning marriage. They described a woman who had had seven husbands, because each one of her previous husbands had died. Finally, the woman herself died. And so the Sadducees asked Jesus, whose wife would she be in the resurrection, in the afterlife? Of course, they did not believe there would be a resurrection of the dead. But Jesus responded this way, "In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Matthew 22 and 30. Relationships like marriage will not exist in heaven. The purpose of marriage will no longer be present. God will be finished with creating eternal spiritual souls through the natural process among humans. Human beings have been entrusted by God with creating eternal spirits by conceiving and giving birth to children. In heaven, this human process will end. However, the relationships that we have sustained on earth will remain. For instance, Abraham is still the father of Isaac. Isaac is still the father of Jacob. I will still recognize my wife, my children, my grandchildren, for these relationships will still be recognizable. Friends, the great climax of history is already past. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ is the climax of history. And it was completed at just the right time for Jesus' Father to fulfill His plan for saving the world. And what was that plan? That plan was to create for God children fit for heaven. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law of Moses, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we, Christians, might receive adoption as children. And because we are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Galatians 4:1-7. And where is this inheritance? It is in heaven, reserved for those who believe and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit says that the first man, Adam, was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, however, Jesus Christ, is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. So just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:47-49. The Apostle Paul continued in another epistle, Our citizenship is in heaven, and from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Philippians 3:20-21.